Live on American Family Radio, this is Hope for the Caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, and this is the nation's number one show for the family caregiver. For those of you who are putting yourself between a vulnerable loved one and even worse issues and challenges, how are you holding up? How are you doing? Maybe it's autism. Maybe it's Alzheimer's. Maybe it's addiction. Whatever's going on with you and your loved one, you as a caregiver are an at-risk individual. And this show is specifically designed for you to help you stay strong and healthy as you care for those who are not. And if you want to be a part of the show, the number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And we'd love to have you be a part of the show. Why do a show for caregivers? I mean, think about it. I mean, isn't it more important to take care of the person who is in the hospital, who is struggling, who is suffering, and all those kinds of things? Well, what happens to them if you go down as a caregiver? Take a moment on that one. What happens to them? And what does help look like to you as a caregiver? Do you know what that looks like? Do you know how to receive that help? These are all things that we struggle with as caregivers. I've been a caregiver now for more than 33 years and been dealing with harsh realities. All right? So what happens to my wife if I'm not in a good place? And I've many times been in not a good place, financially, emotionally, spiritually, physically, professionally, all of those things. And that's why we do the show, and we'd love to have you be a part of it. 888-589-8840. I want to start off with a scripture. I saw this morning, and I thought it may be encouraging for those of you right now. We're coming out of Thanksgiving. It's been a little bit of a frantic time with holidays. It always is. And now we're getting ready to go into the Christmas season, and it gets even sometimes more crazy for us as caregivers because we're trying to make it special for everyone else, but we get lost in the shuffle. There are a lot of nostalgic feelings that come over us, and nostalgia is not everything it used to be. Y'all can write that down. But we try to somehow recreate because we're under such pressure because this, oh my goodness, this is the last one, or you know, mama wants this or whatever. There's all kinds of pressures we put on ourselves that we don't need to, but we do. And as we go into this, there's a lot of private tears that we as caregivers will experience and endure and struggle with. And how many of you all have had a late night conversation with the ceiling fan, for example? I mean, you know, we get that way as caregivers and in those lonely places. And we wonder if anybody sees. Do you wonder that? Do you wonder if anybody sees what you're dealing with, what you're going through, the sadness that you're feeling? Well, more than anyone else, God sees it. God knows it. And so I want to read this scripture. It's Psalm 126, 5 through 6. Those who sow, S-O-W, sow, not sow. I have friends of mine who knit and sew and do all those things, S-E-W. But those who sow, S-O-W, in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, what does that mean to you as a caregiver this morning? I mean, let's unpack that a little bit. What does that mean? Do you go out with seeds for sowing, weeping tears? I bet you do. Because, see, that's what you're doing. As you care for somebody who is struggling or is dealing with whatever, you're working through tears as you minister to someone else. You really are. And those tears are not for naught. Those tears are not wasted. He goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing. You're sowing ministry and love and care into someone who not only can't reciprocate at times, but sometimes will make it even harder or even be abusive to you. You're doing that. And Scripture says that when you go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, you'll come home with shouts of joy, bringing the harvest, your sheaves, with you. I'm not going to sing Bringing in the Sheaves. How many of you all remember that old song? Most people know it from watching Andy Griffith shows. But it's the principle is this, is that you think that this is just one step away from purgatory that you're in sometimes as a caregiver. You're back and forth to hospitals. You're back and forth to rehab centers, back and forth to doctors. You're back and forth to that back bedroom, and you're changing adult diapers, or you're dealing with a child that is acting out with or going through multiple seizures, or you got an addict that's in your life, or an alcoholic that somebody is they're just off the charts causing you stuff, and you are weeping just uncontrollably at times, and you think nobody's noticed it. But Scripture says, no. You're pouring into this. You are sowing into someone's life. Don't beat yourself up for how miserable you think you may be doing it. You keep showing up to doing it. You keep going out to the field to do it. And Scripture says, here's the principle. Here's the life principle from Scripture. So many things in Scripture talk about life as related to agriculture, because that's when this stuff was written. It was an agricultural society, but there's God's gardening tips, as a professor of mine used to call them, are this way. When you're sowing in tears, but you're still sowing, you're still doing it, watch what God can do, and hang on to that promise. I promise you, it does not always feel that way. In fact, it rarely feels that way. But you can't go by that. You can anchor yourself in Scripture so that you know that this is not just haphazard. This is what anchors me. I can't tell you how many times I've just wearily hung my head and cried hot tears and wondered if anybody even noticed. You know, I know that, you know, I can't count how many people have asked about my wife over the years. And well, they should. She's an extraordinary individual. And I got a special treat for you. I'm going to play one of her songs from her new record in the next segment. So you don't want to miss that. This is brand new. Nobody's ever heard this on the air. But they've asked about her for all these years, and it's almost like I didn't even exist, because I didn't look like I was struggling. There was this assumption that I was handling this okay, and I wasn't, and I don't. That's why I do this show. I don't think as caregivers we need a lot of instruction. And you know, if you'll notice, I don't give a lot of advice on this show. What am I going to tell you? You're in the middle of it. You know what's going on in your situation. I don't think we need a lot of instruction. But I do think we need a lot of reminders. And we need to be reminded of not only the goodness of God, but His principles as well. That we can trust those things when it gets so bleak. And when you're smiling on the outside and just in anguish on the inside. How about you today? Is that where you are? How's your heart space? What's going on with you? You're why I do the show. Healthy caregivers make better caregivers. But we're not going to do this in a vacuum. We're not going to do this by ourselves. We've got to pull together and do this with someone else, helping us and pointing us to safety, pointing us to Christ, pointing us to these promises. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. This is Hope for the Caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. This is Hope for the Caregiver, and I am Peter Rosenberger. I am your host, and I am glad to have you with us. 888-589-8840. How are you holding up? How are you doing? We speak fluent caregiver here, so we'd love to hear from you. Hope for the Caregiver is that conviction that we as caregivers, as people who volunteer to care for a chronically impaired loved one, we as caregivers can live a calmer, healthier, and dare I say it, an even more joyful life. We can do this. Scripture tells us we can, and we anchor everything in our lives on Scripture here on this show. That's what this show, that's what separates this show. We're not here to give you platitudes. We're not here to tell you, you know, just take care of yourself and get a good night's rest and eat something healthy. You know, we're not here for all that nonsense. That's just drivel. And I'm not here to give you a lot of practical things of stuff. I mean, I'm not going to tell you how to navigate the health and welfare system of, you know, Oregon. I don't know. I don't live in Oregon. I don't know these things. I know some things. I know how to deal with doctors. I know how to deal with insurance companies. I've dealt with this all since Reagan was president. But that's not really the purpose of this, because that's not going to address the matters of the heart. And when I set out to do this show, I set out specifically to go after the matters of the heart and speak to that with the authority of Scripture, with the conviction of knowing that God is moving in this thing in ways that we cannot even understand or see, but we can trust him. Because I knew that if I had a caregiver that was in a good heart space, then they were better equipped and they had a fighting chance to deal with all the craziness that comes at us. This is my life. This is my journey. And I'm the crash test dummy of caregivers. If you could fail at it, I failed at it. But you don't have to. You don't have to make all the mistakes that I've made. And we can learn from them together and then reinforce them. It's not like I get this one and done and then I've got this, I'm good. Now I'm an expert caregiver. No, Gracie will tell you every day that there's ample room for improvement. And I don't need Gracie to tell me that. I know in my own heart there is. And that's why I have to be reminded of these things. Speaking of Gracie, I've got a treat for you. And I want to play a song. I'm going to introduce, this is brand new. For those of you who are just watching, tuning into the show or watching on Facebook Live or whatever at Hope for the Caregiver, my wife Gracie is a no-kidding singer. And this is a scripture that we're all familiar with. And this is a song written by Martha Minizzi. And Gracie's recorded this for her new record. It's called Resilient is the name of her record. And Gracie's had 80 surgeries, both legs amputated. 100 doctors have treated her in 12 hospitals over 36 years. $11 million. She lives with relentless pain, but she is resilient. And so, Mark, if you can go ahead and play this. This is I Know the Plans I Have for You.
Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans
is my wife, Gracie, and that is that's why I married her, because not only can she sing like that, she wants to sing those songs. She wants to proclaim that he does know. And that's from her new CD. It's called Resilient. If you want to get a copy of that CD, go out to hopeforthecaregiver.com. It's right there on the front page. And you can see how to do all that. It's an extraordinary recording that she's done of songs. It's amazing. And I love listening to that voice. I've heard that voice now for a lifetime. But that's the message for you as a caregiver. He'll give you hope for tomorrow, joy for your sorrow. When you can't see what tomorrow holds and yesterday is through, he knows the plans he has for you. Can you rest in that? Can you hang on to that while you're dealing with what you're dealing with? While your child with special needs is struggling? While you got that son or that daughter who just continues to spiral with addiction? While you watch your parents deteriorate, their bodies deteriorate, and their minds deteriorate. Can you hang on to that? That you have a Savior that is acquainted with all of this, understands it, and bore the penalty for every bit of all the things that are wrong with this world. And he's working them out in a way that you cannot imagine. And it's hard to wrap our mind around that. But I go back to the scripture we had at the beginning of the show. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing. Let me put that in context for you as a caregiver. When you show up every single day to care for someone who is vulnerable, who is at risk, who is struggling, who has some type of affliction, you're going out there bearing the seed for sowing. You're ministering into their life. You are extending ministry and grace and help and care and love. That is your seed that you're sowing. And you're often doing it while you're weeping. Did you know that? You're doing it while you're weeping. And if you say, well, I don't weep while I do this, give it time. You will. Sometimes you'll gnash your teeth. But Scripture says very clearly, you're going to come home with shouts of joy, bringing your sheaves with you, bringing the harvest with you. And we can't even imagine what that harvest looks like. We don't know how in God's economy this is going to be restored to us, but he says that it will. And we can trust him. How do we know we can trust him? How do we know? Because he stretched out his arms and gave his life for us on the cross. See, this is where the cross stands and looms beyond anything we can imagine. This is where we have the opportunity to wrench our will into something that is greater than we can possibly imagine. I think we've gotten so familiar with things. We've heard the word so many times that it almost becomes passé to us. But it's not. I had a caller call in the show one time and he said, yeah, no, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And he kind of repeated all the words and I stopped him. I said, have you considered the fact that he's accepted you? And that was a conversation changer. Have you considered the fact that Christ has accepted you? This is Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Roseberger, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We'll be right back. Caregivers. This is Hope for the Caregiver. I am Peter Roseberger. This is the nation's number one show for the family caregiver. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We've been having a little bit of problem with our phone. I'm going to try something here, Mark. Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Are you talking to me, Peter?
I am indeed.
Oh, well, let me set the radio off.
Our call screener's been having a little bit of problem with his software there, so I'm just going to go straight to it. And tell me your name, where you're calling from, and how are you doing?
Well, I'm Donnie from New Mexico, and I called to apologize to you because I was unfair in my criticism of you the first time I called you, because I said that all you do is tell people to go to church or go to a support group, and that was really harsh and unfair. And I hope you accept my apology.
I do. It was harsh and unfair, but I figured you were having a bad morning, and I do accept it, Donnie, and that's very kind of you to say that. How are you feeling today?
Yeah. That's not a fair question.
Well, it is a fair question. You were miserable last time I talked. Are you still miserable?
Everything is always the same with me, so it's hardly anything ever varies.
You know, let me stop you there. No, it's not the same, because today you're calling back to recognize that you crossed a line, that you really went too far. And so obviously something's different from you today than it was before. So, yeah, there's something different going on. What do you think that is?
Oh, I was just I got to hear the rebroadcast of the show, and I got to hear myself, and I could hear how negative I sounded. And so I thought, well, geez, I owe that man an apology. So that's the only thing.
Well, you know what? That's the wonderful thing about our journey's life. If we ever get a chance to look in the mirror, if we ever get a chance to hear ourselves, we can hear those things. And then that's the Holy Spirit just really pinching us, saying, hey, you see what that – there's an old saying in Nashville that the tape don't lie. The tape don't lie. When you go back, and a lot of people think, oh, they were playing really good on a set when they were doing a particular event or something, and they have to go back and listen to the recording, like, oh, that's bad. That's really bad, you know, and the tape don't lie. And that's okay. That's a good reminder. But Donnie, I got to take a bunch of calls because Mark can't speak to the callers when they call in, so they just go straight to the board. But I want you to know how much I appreciate your call today, and thank you for that, okay? All right, let's see. Good morning. This is Peter. Mark can't screen the calls today, so just tell me your name and where you're from and how are you feeling?
This is Phil Tipton. I've spoken to you before, and thank you so much for your show and the hope. I'm in Spring, Texas, sitting out in front of work, giving you a call. I'm the guy that takes care of Miss Jessie. And her son, Danny, who works two, sometimes two and a half jobs. He had the pleasure of spending the night with her last night. She's been in the hospital since before Thanksgiving. And she's been having a really hard time of it. She has been declared cancer-free for the fourth time. However, it has taken so much out of her. She's 2 years younger than me. She looks like she's 100 and something.
All right, now, Phil, I'm going to stop you.
Yeah.
My first question is always, how are you feeling? I don't need the whole treatment of cancer for this lady. I'm sure all that's important, and I want to hear about that at another time. But this show is Hope for the Caregiver. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling guilty this morning.
What are you feeling guilty about?
Well, I have my own issues and health issues and what have you. People are praying for me, and they're praying for me and what I do for other people. The Lord's
but you're not feeling guilty about that. So what are you feeling guilty about?
How do I be perfect because he's perfect? How do I become holy because he's holy?
Let me back up. One of the things that I'd like to do on the show is I really try to get people out of talking God talk. Okay. Because we could speak fluent Christianese at time and we get all wrapped up in God talk. Now, you're not feeling guilty about not being holy and being perfect like that. There's something driving that a little bit deeper, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, my personal sin is getting to me. Things that I just don't seem to be able to stop sometimes, and it just goes out. Part of it is the meds that I'm on. It drives me to extreme.
Well, what happens is there's you got meds, you got pain, you got affliction, all that stuff, but there's sin in there somewhere. And what happens is we are broken, sinful people. And the whole point of this thing is you're not going to be perfect and you're not going to be holy on your own. You can't squint your eyes hard, you know, real tight and make yourself, you know, better or nicer or less sinful or whatever. Yeah, it's one of those things where you retrain your brain. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, what does that even look like? And again, I don't really like to talk God talk here because that's what happens sometimes when we get around as Christians. We want to impress ourselves with how well we can opine on scriptural things. But the bottom line is we're wretched, broken sinners, but we have a Savior. And it's not how lurid the tale, it's how great the Savior. And so when you think on the things of God, and we're all like this, Phil, you're not dealing with anything that anybody else isn't dealing with. We're all like this. When we turn our eyes, you know that old hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of. See, this is what happens with us. And we kind of get so wrapped up in the things of this earth. And we're so bent on this, whether it's the lust of our hearts, whether it's the abusive tone we take with other people, whether it's the demandingness, whether it's the ugliness, the miserableness, all these kinds of things that come out in us. And there's nothing like dealing with suffering for a lengthy period of time, whether it's you or someone else, to expose the gunk that's in your soul. And every time you see it, it's like that caller we just had with Donnie. He went back and looked at the, listened to the rebroadcast and heard how miserable he sounded and how negative he sounded. So he wanted to call and apologize.
And that is wonderful.
Well, so wonderful. But the thing is, we all get a chance to listen to the rebroadcast if we'll pay attention. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He plays the tape back and says, you know, hey, did you see this? And we got to have people in our lives who are willing to push the button to say, hey, I'm going to play the tape back. You know, this is what marriage it can be like for you know, I think it's designed to, because Gracie and I both can play the tape back for each other. Hey, you know, when you said this, this was very, very hurtful. This was very cutting to me. And we play the tape back for each other. And then as believers, that's what we do. But when we sit there, we get all, my father calls it, and he's not listening this morning because he's over making sandwiches at his church. And I'm trying to think, I talked to him briefly this morning. I'm trying to think of my father making sandwiches this morning because I don't remember him making a whole lot. I guess everybody likes bologna and white bread and peanut butter and jelly because that's about the only sandwich he knows how to make. But he used to always say, he calls it navel gazing. And we're just sitting there looking at our belly buttons and we're so wrapped up on the minutia that we can't see the big picture. And the big picture is, Phil, let me let you in on a little secret. You're a wretched sinner, but you have a great Savior.
Adam and Eve
but you have
tables,
a you have a great Savior.
Yes.
And as long as you keep focusing on your wretchedness, which I understand that. I get that same way. Try every time you do that, focus on how great a Savior you have. It's not that your sin doesn't matter. And if you got things in your life you need to deal with, you need to deal with them.
That he's okay? overcome.
If we confess our sins to one another, he is faithful and just to forgive them and cleanse us of all our unrighteousness. But the point is that sometimes we want to self-flagellate. I just like to use a word from the big board column of words right there, self-flagellate. Yeah. And we want to just beat the crap out of ourselves over stuff. But we stop at that part. And we need to understand that all of that was... All of that was inflicted on the body of Christ. And we rest in that and understand that he who began a good work in you, Phil, is faithful to complete it to the day of Christ Jesus. Yes. And that's how you retrain your mind. And it's not easy, but you can't do it in a vacuum, and you can't simply do it while you can't speak that whole Christianese and God talk. You gotta just get real earthy and down with it. You just gotta say, look, you know what? I am what I am. Don't blame it on your drugs. Don't blame it on this. Don't blame it on stuff. Just blame it on you. But then understand where that blame went. Uh-huh. And when you're in, if you're in a courtroom and they ask you how you plead, well, how do you plead? I plead guilty and go straight to execution. And go straight to execution. You got to remember that part. Go straight to execution because Christ was executed on your behalf. You're guilty. And he was executed. Yeah. And every time you do that, it's retraining your brain to understand, oh, wait a minute. Look at this great Savior. That doesn't give you license to go out and do it anymore. It anchors you back in reality. Are you tracking with me on that?
Yeah, I am. It's Galatians 3:20 that was speaking of.
Well, go back and look in the other part of Galatians where it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. The life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God. So every time you are plagued with this, you say, you know, I feel guilty about I can't be holy like he said. You know, when I was in Bible college on Fridays, we used to have testimony chapel, and we used to start calling them bragamony chapel or testifony chapel because so many people got up and they wanted just to say, oh, y'all pray for me. I'm having a real problem with pride.
Yeah. You know,
that's just goofy, man. You want to get away from that and just start saying, you know what? Let me tell you what that cross means to me. Let me talk about Christ, not about me. That's where we go as caregivers. That's where we go as believers. That's where we go as individuals who are putting our trust in his perfect, in his perfection, in his righteousness, not our own. And we yield to that. And the life we live in the body, we live by faith in the Son of God. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Peter Rosenberger. Have you ever helped somebody walk for the first time? I've had that privilege many times through our organization, Standing with Hope. When my wife, Gracie, gave up both of her legs following this horrible wreck that she had as a teenager, and she tried to save them for years, and it just wouldn't work out, and finally she relinquished them and thought, wow, this is it. I mean, I don't have any legs anymore. What can God do with that? And then she had this vision for using prosthetic limbs as a means of sharing the gospel, to put legs on her fellow amputees. And that's what we've been doing now since 2005 with Standing with Hope. We work in the West African country of Ghana, and you can be a part of that through supplies, through supporting team members, through supporting the work that we're doing over there. You could designate a limb. There's all kinds of ways that you could be a part of giving the gift that keeps on walking at standingwithhope.com. Would you take a moment to go out to standingwithhope.com and see how you can give? They go walking and leaping and praising God. You can be a part of that at standingwithhope.com. I'm forgiven. Now I have a reason for living. Jesus keeps giving and giving. Giving till my heart overflows. Welcome back to the show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger. This is the nation's number one show for the family caregiver. We're glad you're a part of it. 888-589-8840, 888 1-800-589-8840 if you want to be a part of the show. We're having a little bit of call screener problems, so what I do is I just go straight into the call cold because our call screener can't answer it, and I'm sorry for that if you have any trouble, but don't worry about it. We'll just make do. But it's I love that song, by the way, with Russ. That's one of my favorite songs with the Imperials is I'm Forgiven and Russ Taff singing that, and you can hear Gracie and Russ singing their duet on Gracie's new record, Resilient. Go to hopeforthecaregiver.com and you'll hear it. All right, good morning. I'm just picking up the phone. I have no idea who this is. Tell me your name, where you're from, and how are you feeling?
Hi, my name is Mark. I'm in Texas.
Hey, Mark.
And I'm feeling actually pretty good emotionally, and but physically I'm having some trouble.
It's all right.
Been going on for a while.
Who are you caring for? Who are you caring for?
My wife has had breast cancer surgery about a year and a half ago, and she's been on the hormone blocking drug now, and it's really puts her out of it. She can't do much at all. You know, maybe 15% she can do, you know? And so I'm taking care of three teenagers and her, and working a second job, trying to manage it. And it's,
how are you holding up?
Be getting to me.
I would imagine. How are you holding up?
Well, for a few months there early on, I was really frustrated because I didn't understand that it was really as bad as it was. And then just in the last 2 months, God really has kind of done this. I don't talk like this usually, but he did a real miracle in my life to, first of all, understand, you know, how bad the situation was, and then give me energy and motivation to, you know, step up and take care of things. And I almost feel like what I'm experiencing is kind of like what was that thing? Paul had this thing in the flesh, right, that was there to remind him of his weakness and God's power. But even though I suspect that maybe what's going on, I still kind of am trying to see, you know, maybe I should look into my physical health because
let's just stop right there. Yeah, you should look into your physical health. When's the last time you saw your doctor?
Well, several times over the last couple of weeks. I went to the emergency room a few days back, and I have these things where I just kind of lose the ability to focus and not just focus and concentrate, but to actually function. It ends up being kind of physical, but mainly in my mental functioning, brain fog.
All right. What did they say at the emergency room?
They couldn't find anything. And
okay. So have you been to a mental health counselor of any kind?
Not recently. My doctor asked. I went to my general practitioner after the ER, and he said, "Well, could this be emotional or like depression or something?" And I'm like, "No, I feel better now than I have in years, decades, really, emotionally. But I have this physical thing or whatever it is going on. I don't know if Washington exhibits.
Yeah, it does. All of the above. What's your what was your blood pressure?
My blood pressure is always low. It was slightly higher than it is normally for me, but it was still low in the AR, 121/80, which, you know, I like this very top of normal.
Do you drink a lot of water?
I've been drinking tons of water. In fact, I've been drinking tons of water for maybe 6 or 8 months. I mean, plenty of water.
The stress of what you're dealing with will have adverse effects. I mean, let's just, you know, get right to that. It will. You're under an enormous amount of stress. All right?
Yeah.
Now, going to the, and you give it the respect it deserves. Going to the emergency room when it gets to be a crisis level is, you know, that's appropriate when you're in a crisis. But let's go ahead and get out in front of this thing. And why don't you go ahead and get a referral from your primary care physician to go and see a mental health counselor?
Yeah,
and see what's going on. Yeah. And not wait around for this. Let's get out in front of this. A licensed mental health counselor. Don't go see a life coach or anything. And I don't want to get a bunch of calls from life coaches. Okay. That's not what this is about, is to disparage the life coach industry. But we're not dealing with life coach issues. We're dealing with physiological issues, significant emotional issues, and you need a trained mental health professional. That could be a licensed clinical social worker. That could be a health counselor. That could be a psychologist or psychiatrist. But it's somebody who has had formal training in this. I think you would benefit greatly from it. And it may not, it may be something where you may, who knows what it is. I'm not going to speculate what it is, but obviously it's enough to drive you to the emergency room. And, you know, when you go to the emergency room for something, you don't need to go see a motivational speaker. All right.
Yeah,
you need
to
see somebody who is trained on dealing with stuff and then start on that. Are you, what about physically? Are you active? Are you walking? Are you doing any kind of exercise? Are you doing something?
I've added the exercise just in the last, in fact, that was part of, I think, what helped me really get moving. Like about 3 or 4 months ago, I started exercising quite a lot more than usual.
Well, for me, I did martial arts, and I'm a second degree black belt. You've heard of Shogun?
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm Shonuff. And no, I'm just kidding. But I did that, and now I've moved out to Montana, where I'm a long ways away from a Dojon, so I can't get to it. So I'm having to retool some things with me. And today, you'll be happy to know. I don't know if you'll be happy to know that, but I am. I'm firing up my snowmobile. I'm in Southwest Montana, and I'm firing up my snowmobile, and I'm going to be doing things for me physically, just get out there in the forest and start sledding around and doing things active, because I think we have to do that. We've got to bleed off that stress, and you've got to respect the stress that you're carrying. Okay. And the way you bleed that off is several things. One of them is you change your lifestyle to accommodate that. That could be food and rest and water and all this stuff. Get rid of sugary drinks and things like that. The second thing is you've got to do some type of physical activity. You've got to do something. Walk. Get out and go for a walk. Do something. And then the third thing is you need to regularly check in with trained medical people, whether it's emotional, and mental health people, whether it's emotional or physical. You've got to do those things, because the stress that's on you, what you're dealing with your wife and raising 3 teenagers and working 2 jobs, dude, your body can't handle that. Your heart can't handle that without help. One of the landmines in my book, 7 Caregiver Landmines, is thinking that it's all up to you. Is that what you think sometimes?
Mm-hmm. I don't see much.
And the other one of the landmines is failing to see to your own physical health.
So
72% of us as caregivers don't see our own doctors regularly. And as guys, as one caregiving husband to another, I will tell you that we have this terrible proclivity to somehow just try to white knuckle ourselves through this. We're going to just cowboy up. We're going to do this. We're going to wrestle this steer to the ground here. And it doesn't work that way. And one of the things I learned in martial arts from the very get-go is that we can't muscle these techniques. We can't force it. We have to learn the technique and let the technique do the work for us. But as guys, sometimes we try to muscle them up, and we're going to use our size and our muscles and our strength and our physical abilities to overpower. And it's not that way in martial arts, and at least not in the art I'm doing, is that we use the technique to do it. And if I have to get to the point where I'm working up a sweat, I've done it wrong. As a caregiver, that's the way we approach things. As a caregiver, we tend to muscle up. And basically what's happening is, and I'm going to just take a stab at this, you're basically paddling upstream in whitewater.
Mm-hmm.
Turn the boat around and go the other way. It's a lot easier. Just turn the boat around and let's go the other way. And let's focus on you not trying to just muscle your way through this, but let's get some real help for you so you can get back to a place of safety. And real help for you is going to, most likely, it's going to be you sitting down with trained mental health and medical people and laying out just how much stress you're under, and then start developing a plan to, and it may just come in inches. I mean, you may not be doing this, by major increments. If you didn't get here overnight, you're not going to get out of it overnight, but you can take significant steps towards you being a healthier person, not happier. The goal is not for us to be happy. All right. Now that may surprise a lot of people. we can have joy. But he said the joy of the Lord is our strength, not the happiness of the Lord is our strength.
Yeah, I understand that. I've learned that recently.
We're not here to be happy, happy, happy all the time, My wife doesn't have any legs, and she's in pain all the time. And this has been going on since Reagan's first term. We're not going to feel better about these things. We're not going to be happy about those things, but we can have joy in these things. We can be healthier in these things. And the goal is for us to be healthier. Healthier caregivers make better caregivers. Your wife needs you healthy. Your kids need you healthy. And in the process, you may be surprised by episodes of happiness, but they need you healthy. And I would suggest to you from your call today that you don't feel very healthy today, do you?
No, not at one.
On multiple levels.
Yeah.
But that's okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Now we're having a, you know, we got a starting point. So you've got some action steps ahead of you this week. All right. You got some calls that you can make this week. Okay. Make the calls. Start that path to healthiness. And thanks for making the call today. This is a big step for you to call a show like this. On Saturday mornings, you're calling a radio show for family caregivers. You pick up a phone. It feels like it's 100 pounds. I get it. But you did a great thing, and I'm very proud of you for doing this, and I'm very grateful that you trusted me with your journey. This is Peter Rosenberg, and this is Hope for the Caregiver. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. Healthy caregivers make better caregivers. I mean, it's just that simple. By the way, if you want to get that CD of Gracie's with, you know, it's resilient, it's at HopeForTheCaregiver.com. We'll see you next week.